Good morning and welcome to the Dante Blogs Morning Coffee Podcast. Hope you have a great morning, a great day, and maybe a cup of coffee. And we're back. We had one day of a little break yesterday only because of the weather. So we tried to make an episode, but it was so windy and it's kind of the storms are back here and it was also so rainy. So we tried doing it, but it was so noisy. So we just had to, we even tried kind of filtering out the background noise, but it didn't. Didn't work. So this one is going to be maybe like a 1.5 episode, or we're going to try to put it all together because we have lots to say about Paradiso and the beginning now in Mars. And we also had yesterday our first science columnist on the Dante Blogs on the Rebirth magazine, Christopher Brown. He lives in Georgia, USA, and he's been a friend for many years. And we asked him for a little introduction to his work, which is about something that's becoming much easier to talk about now. So, and this is like a separate new topic on this podcast as well, which is about science and is about cosmology specifically. Because astrophysics as a discipline, as a field of knowledge, as a science, is really, really excellent. We audited an undergraduate course in astrophysics a couple of years ago. 90-95% of it is excellent. But the last few chapters about cosmology in terms of cosmogony, I mean like the origins of the cosmos, is just not, they're abandoning all scientific standards in terms of what we know and what we don't know. And also even basic things like cause and effect, and also like just sticking to empirical observations. So there are many reasons for this. Cosmology is much more, it's a pendulum over the centuries. But cosmology is sometimes good science, and then it goes into something more like storytelling or something more like entertainment industry, which is it mostly is now. Okay, so all of this is just to kind of prepare the grounds here for his main argument is that the idea of the current cosmology with the Big Bang and expanding space is just not tenable. So this was hard to say in public for many years, especially in the kind of Anglo-American sphere. In other countries, in Europe, for example, it's been much more established for many years that there are huge problems with this idea and this concept, because it all hinges in one single thing, which comes from Hubble 100 years ago, looking up at the stars, getting these bigger telescopes and seeing that the light from the very distant galaxies seems to be kind of had lost some of their energy, or that they have been kind of stretched out in a sense. The frequency spectrum had been stretched out, which is then was interpreted as this Doppler effect you can hear from sound. And then that is also then interpreted as that these galaxies are just moving away from us at high speeds. And then you got the idea that, oh, that means that the whole universe is expanding, and that means that it was smaller earlier. And then you got the idea that, oh, maybe then started just as like a little point that's exploded outwards, not into space, but like space itself was expanding from a point that just appeared at some point. But again, all of this hinges on one single thing, how we interpret the light from distant galaxies. That is all of it. And then proponents would say there are two more things. You have like the abundance of light elements, like hydrogen atoms, basically, which there's no way of connecting that back to something like an origin in a point that explodes. There could be a million different reasons for that. And then they would say the background radiation, that this famous image that they say is the birth of the cosmos, is also highly dubious in terms of what it is. It is basically just heat radiation, which could be anything. And also the picture that's usually used is heavily redacted, doctored, in terms of the original pictures would be extreme, like this big red band on it, which is the heat from the Milky Way itself. And then you just there's remove all of that a bit randomly, and then you get this this more famous blue-green kind of picture. But again, it could be anything, and it was predicted to be like 50 degree Kelvin, and then it turned out to be around 3 point. So anyways, back to the one single premise, light from distant galaxies. And then our friend here, Chris Brown, has done a lot of work on this. And then the idea is that the reason the light is being stretched or it loses energy over giant distances is because of gravity. And then Einstein also talked about this. But the way people have dismissed this theory, because they say that, oh, but the gravity is not strong enough. Like if a light goes out of a star and the star is very far away, the gravity field of that star is basically nothing. But then the whole approach in this article is then how do you look at the mass? So if the light beam goes out of a star, you could look at, well, first, a star system, if it has planets, then that would be also like an object of mass. But also, if you zoom out a lot more, the whole galaxy will have a mass. So when the light moves out of the galaxy, you have to take into account the mass of the whole galaxy as working, having an effect on the light beam out of the galaxy. But then you could also scale out further and you can look at, well, look at clusters of galaxies, because galaxies are kind of clustered into little like bulks, lumps of galaxies. And then you have like enormous amounts of nothing, like just empty space in between. So the whole cluster also has a mass, and then that might also affect. And then you can look at even bigger structures like the filaments, these famous images where space looks like brain neurons almost. Then these also, they have mass, and then so on. So it is. And if you do that, then it fits perfectly. You can use Einstein's theories about gravitational redshift, as they call it, like the gravity's effect on light. And if you look at the mass in this way, it matches perfectly what we see. And it also, like his ending point there in this article, when he writes that what is the total amount of gravitational redshift of light viewed from a star's 13.7 billion light years away? That is the distance of the farthest galaxies that we can see. It's kind of the edge of the observable cosmos is 13.7 billion light years. And what happens at that point is that the effect of gravity on the light goes to infinity, meaning you will not see it at all. Like the energy of the light would just be completely emptied out at that point because of the total mass. If you look at a ball of that size, that will have the mass which fits exactly with the amount of mass needed to, and this is, there's another little, not to go on too wide far out here, but that the mass of that giant ball of the observable cosmos is exactly the mass needed for a black hole that will stop the light from escaping. So in that sense, you can say maybe it's some of the same effects going on, that it just has so much mass in this giant ball for a light beam originating in it, that it won't, it will be, again, stretched out, the redshift will go to infinity, and then it will be invisible. But if you move 5 billion light years out from the Earth, then you will have another observable cosmos around you in this giant ball, because things, stars, galaxies outside of that ball will not reach you. Okay, so that was more than we had planned for, but we have kept repeating this argument for many years, and now it's becoming more accepted to talk about this. In large part, so final point here, because of the new telescope of Jim Webb, and summer 1.5 years ago. We can talk more about this another day, but this is kind of the next generation after the Hubble telescope, which has been up there for 30 years. You get the new telescope designed to look into kind of the furthest outmost edges of the universe, which was then seen to be the infancy of the universe. And they expected to see infant galaxies, or the emergence and formation of the first galaxies in their tiny little infant youth. And then what they found last summer, like 1.5 years ago, was just a lot of big, giant, fully formed galaxies where it was supposed to be infant galaxies. So that broke the whole, it broke all of their expectations and also, in a sense, all of the models. But this will take many years to kind of being absorbed into the current view on things. So there's a kind of a nice, almost a little irony that this whole idea of the expanding space starts with Hubble, like an expanded version of the Hubble telescope, like, or the telescope that Hubble himself as a person used 100 years ago. So he gets a bigger telescope, then you get this theory, and now we got, just 1.5 years ago, we have designed like a much bigger telescope that is way out, far beyond the moon. And then we get new observations that kind of crashes the models. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But the bigger point, to step back from the science part, is that the current idea is obstructing and blocking science because it's this dogmatic, contradictory, just like incoherent framework to look at science and the universe, and it is blocking real research and investigations and theory making about how the cosmos, how the universe works. So hopefully this will be like the opening of a new great fruitful era of science when we get kind of a more clear view of things. Okay, anyways, now shifting gears. This was 11 and a half minutes. We're going to shift gears, but again, we're going to, if you go to danteblogs.com, you can click on Rebirth Magazine and then you can read the article. So switching gears to Dante and our journey in Paradiso. So now we're gonna keep looking in a sense at cosmology, but this is gonna be the bigger cosmology of the spiritual and the material unity, which is a much bigger frame of looking at being and existence in itself. So we had the pilgrim, like we have left the sun behind, the sphere of wisdom, also the sphere of the powers as the kind of angelical force, and then we are going into Mars. So it's interesting here how we're going to look at this, we're going to see it more and more, that Dante is establishing a very different kind of atmosphere and feeling on Mars. The angelic beings here are the virtues, and the virtues are, just to repeat this, their caratteristica principale è il coraggio. It's just so nice to say it in Italian. But their first characteristic, their main characteristic is courage. Like the force, the energy, and the courage to confront obstacles and difficulties. So this is very much, if not framing, it is infusing this sphere with like an approach, an attitude of strength to confront problems and to do kind of the right thing, and the necessity to do the right thing, sometimes with then kind of being firm in your convictions and your actions. And we're going to see this in the Tircis that we're going to read today as well, that Dante sometimes is very firm, and he has some kind of hard truths as well, a bit of kind of tough love that comes from Dante, but like this is necessary to understand, and this is just how it is. Okay, so we ended the previous episode on Tuesday with the phrase that people are hiding away from the divine light, this lo raggio onde si lista talvolta l'ombra, like this ray, spiritual wisdom, spiritual light, that people are sometimes hiding away from, like they're creating a shadow from it, and they are creating this shadow to defend themselves with both their ingenio, their ingenuity, their mind, and with art or craft or skill. But then again, these little souls are moving into these shadows. So people who are sharing the divine light, illumination, are moving into this both then, like physically, territorially, but also then into people's psyche. Okay, so then it continues. In Italian, e come giga e arpa in tempra tesa di molte corde fa dolce tintinno a tal di cui la nota non è intesa. So we're going to get a big image here. It's not that deep symbolically, but it's just full of beauty. So he says that, and like with the lyre and the harp, just two kind of celestial instruments in some ways, in many chords, it makes like this sweet, beautiful sound that for those who can hear the sound but do not understand it, like understand the fullness of what the music means yet. Così da lume che lì mi apparino si accoglie per la croce una melode che mi rapiva senza intender l'inno. Like in such way it appeared to me that from the cross that he's seeing in the sky now, which is kind of the spiritual life, the spiritual wisdom, insight, there is a melody coming out, there's a music coming out that was just captivating him without understanding the hymn, as he says. So it's just, he's captivated by the beauty, but he doesn't understand the depth of the meaning yet. Ben mi accorso io che egli era d'alte lode, però che a me venia resurgi e vinci, come colui che non intende e ode. So then it occurred to me that this was high praise, because to me was coming resurgi, become it means then to arise or to get up or to resurrect and win or conquer or prevail, like it does to the one who does not understand but listens. So here there's a slight movement of the situation. Like he still doesn't understand the fullness of what he's hearing, but he can understand that this is a praise because these two words are coming out to him: to arise, rise up, and then also to win, which can be interpreted and should be interpreted in many different ways. It refers to both like these spiritual warriors, how they like they rise up and they conquer, they spread the light, the divine light, to other people, into the culture, into society, and that is kind of a victory for virtue in itself. It could also then refer, or it refers also then to Christ and the resurrection as well, like the conquest or the like overwinning death in itself. And it could also be like an appeal to us as reader that we can also then kind of rise up and share some of the light, like in small ways, but and then also this, that is a form of a victory or like winning, to just spread this out to some extent. Depends on the person. This is also expressed in how all these different lights in this giant cross in the sky is, like how they are moving in different paths, they have different intensity, they have different sizes, and this is just like how people are different in doing and approaching and pursuing this this form of just sharing again. Okay. Io mi innamorava tanto quinci che infino a lì non fu alcuna cosa che mi legasse con si dolci vinci. So this is, now we're going to get into this kind of sweetness part here, which he says, I fell so much in love of this, like just this, the music, the harmonies, and these two words, and the feeling of this high praise, that until now there were no things that that bound me with such a sweet victory, in a sense. So he's just saying that this is the most beautiful thing he has ever heard. Nothing ever has bound him so strongly as this music. And if you read that the first time, you might think, but wait a minute, the biggest ever? And then in the very next verse, Dante is following up on this. So he says, Forse la mia parola par troppo osa. So maybe my words are a little bit too strong. Posponendo il piacere degli occhi belli, postponing the pleasure or pleasantness of the beautiful eyes, ne quai mirando mio disio apposa, in which looking my desire, kind of all my desires, are quieted or stopped. Meaning then, looking into the eyes of Beatrice just removes all other desires he has ever. And then, Ma chi si avvede che i vivi suggelli di ogni bellezza più fanno più uso? But here happens that the living seals, which is then the, again the eyes of Beatrice, you might think like portals to divine wisdom, that every beauty of it is more made the more high we go. E che io non mi era lì rivolto a quelli. And I had not, kind of not yet, turned myself to those, meaning to those eyes. So it's like a roundabout way here of saying that the eyes of Beatrice are more and more beautiful, or the portals into the divine wisdom is more and more beautiful, the higher up we get, and then we haven't yet looked at that. So that's why the music is the most beautiful he has ever heard so far or experienced.
Escusar puomi di quel che mio accusa per escusarmi e vedermi dir vero che il piacer santo non è qui dischiuso.
So you could excuse me of that which I am accusing myself, meaning being maybe too strong with the words. And look with me at the truth, that the sacred pleasantness is not yet disclosed, meaning he has not looked at Beatrice yet.
Perché si fa montando più sincero?
Because it makes, with climbing, more sincere. Like the eyes will be more sincere, it will be more beautiful, and when he does look at this, it will be the most beautiful ever. More beautiful than the music. So, again, it's a bit roundabout way, all of this, to just explain how... something about the nature of Paradiso here. That when he goes up a step, listening to this music is more beautiful than both Beatrice's eyes, and then also then implied the visions he's had of the mysteries. Because just going up a level amplifies everything. So then the music now is at the moment the most beautiful, but the second he has more visions or looking into Beatrice's eyes, that will surpass anything. So it's just a way of making sure that we don't think that Beatrice's eyes are always more beautiful than any experience during the journey. It kind of follows more the ascent in itself.
Okay, so that was the end of Canto 14, which is this transition in some ways from the Sun to Mars.
And then we're going to look a little bit into Canto 15 and just further into what is happening now on Mars. So again, it's a bit more today just because we had 2 days in one episode, but it's more descriptive in a sense, this little opening setting the scene for Mars. So, canto 15 begins with Benigna volotande in che si liqua sempre l'amor che drittamente aspira come cupidità fe nella iniqua.
So, this is a really hard-hitting tercet in many ways as the opening of a new canto. So, he says, the good will in which it liquefies, melts, in a sense, always love that is rightfully breathed as or like desire does in iniquity or vices, wickedness. So a profound point here, he says that true love, and then especially love for the other, like selfless love towards another person also, or to divinity or being, this form of love, which is the kind of the right form of breathed love, is both kind of manifested. It arises from the goodwill, meaning from divinity itself. So between the lines there is both that this feeling, this reality of this true love is kind of molded, melted out of divinity. And is also dissolved into it. So it's just kind of, it comes out of it, but it's a part of it, and it also dissolves and participates in it. So that is the true love, the selfless love. And then he contrasts this with the selfish love, like the self-centered love, the greedy self-centered love and desire as desire, which arises out of vices or wickedness. So in a sense, this is the whole first book of Inferno, the first, especially the first half of it, which is about your passions, your desires, without using your reason. Just following, being a slave of your passions, following just your immediate desire would then give rise to this form of self-centered love, and then you will also be stuck in it. So it's just like, again, like here we have this assertiveness that is in the spirit of Mars, the spiritual warrior spirit, which is then, this is the truth. Remember that this self-centered love comes from the vices. It is destructive, it is bad, and it will also, it will bound you to that. As a contrast to the good selfless love, to the heavens, to the being in itself, to the divine. Okay, silenzio posa a quella dolce lira e fece quitar le sante corde che la destra del cielo alenta e tira. This is such a beautiful image. So he says there that like quiet was positioned, or it was put into quietness, like silence, this sweet lyre, and made silent the sacred, the holy, like strings, chords, that the hand, like the right hand of heaven, was tightening and loosening. So it's just like, it's like the divine hand or divinity itself is playing on this lyra, this musical instrument, and then this hand that is moving the strings was suddenly stopping. So the celestial cosmic music is suddenly then stopping, going into silence. Come saranno aggiusti preghi sorde quelle sostanze che per darmi voglia ch'io le pregassi a tacer fur concorde. So this is a bit of a rhetorical question. Dante is saying here that how could it be, or how would it be possible, that for right like prayers, or for right questions, silent would these substances be, meaning these blessed souls, that are giving me the will or the want to ask them questions through their concordant silence. So it's a bit cryptic. Many terses are a bit cryptic at this point in the journey, but it's just another way of saying that, like the way they are all falling to silence in harmony is giving him such a want to ask him questions. And then he's just asking rhetorically, how could it ever be that they will not be happy, or they will be deaf to my questions when they do this super beautiful inviting thing here of falling to silence. Bene è che senza termine si doglia chi per amor di cosa che non duri eternalmente quell'amor si spoglia. So here's another kind of tough love statement from Dante, again in the spirit of Mars. And also you can remember Mars is the god of war in the Greek. So it means that good or right is it that with no end it hurts, or one suffers the one who out of love of things that do not last, meaning then the love of earthly things, eternally that love, or this love that he's now experiencing, the beauty of the celestial music and how they're falling to silence, those who then eternally this love are depriving themselves or spoiling. So he's just saying that it is a sort of a justice, the sort of a rightness that those who block themselves from this higher heavenly love, truth, light, goodness, because they are exclusively looking at the earthly things, they will then forever be locked into a form of suffering. But the forever in Dante's world means until you change. So the forever means like this will always be the dynamic. This is like an important side point. Like the truths of the dynamic of the Paradiso and the Inferno is eternal in the sense that this will always be the case. If you go like 10 million years into the future, participating in vices like fraud and betrayal will still be destructive. But then participating in the virtues and aiming for the good will always have positive consequences. So we'll get into this later about mercy being one of the main things with mercy is that you can always change your path. That is like a deep idea in this. So anyways, it's just reiterating a point that it is just right that those who block themselves from the heavenly will then be stuck in a form of suffering, like perpetually. Okay, and just a couple of more. We're over half an hour, but just want to wrap up this. It's finally four tercets, but what is happening is just that one of the lights on this cross is starting to move down towards Dante or the pilgrim to speak with him. And then we're going to understand later in this canto that this is part of his ancestry. This is his great-great-grandfather, Cacciaguida, which is then coming to him to have a big speech. So it's described now. We're going to go a bit more quickly through this part in Italian here. And he says that, Quale per lì seren tranquilli e puri, discorre ad ora, ad or subito fuoco, muovendo gli occhi che stavan sicuri. So he says then that suddenly he starts to see flashes in the cross, like little fires that are moving his eyes that were had remained secure, meaning his eyes were just kind of looking at it in a non-moving, stable way, and then suddenly his eyes start to move because he catches some bursting little fire in places on the cross. E pare stella che tremuti loco, se non che dalla parte onde si accende, nulla sen perde ed esso dura poco. So, this one star he's now looking at that is moving, he sees that the part where it flashes and it starts moving, that does not take away anything from where it comes from, which is slightly cryptic, but it could mean that it's just full of blessed souls, so it doesn't diminish the light from where this one star, one blessed soul, is moving. Okay, and then tale corno che in destro si stende a più di quella croce corso un astro della costellazione che lì risplende. So from the right arm of this cross, from the right arm, right horn, to the foot of this cross, moved a star of this constellation, which is shining. So it's just one star, it moves along then the arm into the center and then down into the foot. And final tercet for today, ne si parte la gemma del suo nastro. So it's just commenting on the way it is moving. Like it's not kind of going from the right tip of the right arm just straight down to the bottom or towards him. It moves into the center and down. And he says, like in the same way that, or like this gem is not removing itself from the band, meaning the ray of light. Ma per la lista radial tracorse. So, but through radial lines, meaning then the arm, it is moving through. Che parve fuoco dietro ad alabastro. So, like a fire is moving behind an alabaster, meaning like it's like you can see this translucent screen and then you see a light behind and you just see this light behind the screen is just moving from the arm into the center and then downwards to the foot of this big cross of the two lights in the heavens. So, that is the final tercet we're going to look at today. So it just means that someone is coming. We heard the celestial music. It stops. And now you see one star, one soul is coming towards Dante. And this is going to be a great big conversation where Dante is talking to his great-great-grandfather. Okay, so That was all we had in this episode, about 35 minutes. This was 15 terses, I think. But it just sets the scene for this new sphere with the music and the cross and also this whole spirit of more courage and doing things actively. So with that, hope some of this was interesting, some input and food for thought, and hope you're still having a great day, maybe a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. So hope you enjoyed some of this, and see you next time.